I am a soldier in the army. It's an infantry of God's will reaching towards tomorrow. And we need to break the odds. We are marching for the children, for the mothers, for the land. We will build a new beginning with every soul who dares stay. Have not the pious promise makers taken back every word they've said. Blooded by fire, burning upon the cross, have not the pale moons turned to red. But we must ever believe in truth. Truth is still that regal thing. And there ain't no rest, say there ain't no rest. No, there ain't no rest for us. If we are on a great sojourners, then the journey's our grace. We must never surrender, no, we're in the victory of our faith.
Good morning, and what a good morning it is. I am Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus, and I pray that by our worship we might be led well in the way that he taught us and that he lived. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are watching this day and participating in worship through our live streamed or our recorded worship. We are a people who remain physically distant, and yet we are a people who remain focused upon the Spirit and guided by it well and bound together by the Spirit as the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation, in this congregation, and with this congregation. We have a few announcements this morning to share. I want to offer thanks, as I usually do, for our worship leaders, Sarah Lynn Keller and Wayne Zaretter, Judy Dixon and Beth Canterbury, and of course, special thanks go to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for their technical expertise that is making this worship possible. You'll also notice that Tom Foster is away this day, and yet we extend a particular and very warm welcome of thanks to our guest musician, Lily Lewis, coming to us live today from the beautiful city of New Orleans, an extraordinary musician made known to us by our own Beth Canterbury, who will give an introduction to Lily a little bit later on, just before today's offertory. But Lily, I'll just say right now, thank you. Thank you so much. It is a delight to have you in our worship this day and to experience your gifts of music. So thank you for being here. During our worship, we have a time of candle lighting, so we encourage you to have a candle ready to go to light with me as I light the Christ candle. That's going to happen just following the announcement, so we look forward to that time of being the one body in Christ together by the Spirit. We also have a time of lifting up public prayer celebrations and concerns, and so we invite you to take a look at the worship bulletin, which has numerous prayer celebrations and concerns there. But if you have a prayer that you'd like lifted up this day in our worship, it is also possible for you to email that to us now at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That way, if you get those to us by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our community prayer this morning. And as usual, we have a time of post-worship fellowship just following our worship time via Zoom video conferencing. That link can be found in the church's bulletin, also on the church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. It also goes out in the link emailing, which would have been sent out on Friday or this morning. So we look forward to having you join us in fellowship during that time. Sarah Lynn, I know you have some announcements to share with us this morning as well.
I do. Thank you. Good morning. I want to invite folks to join us on Wednesday at noon for our midweek connection and prayer. It's a short time that we get together to share where we are and a prayer request, and then have a time of prayer together. And those links are available in the same places that Jonathan just mentioned. And don't forget that Jonathan is available throughout the week for pastoral care needs that you may have. Please contact him directly at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org. Well, our Super Bowl is over, and I want to just congratulate the Polar Bears. They crushed the Penguins this year for the first time in many years. They held the lead throughout the whole competition. The Polar Bears, good for you. You raised $1,754 in food to be donated, and the Penguins not so far behind with $1,473. And all of that food goes to the food pantry at A Place to Turn in Natick. And we do thank you for all the folks who participated in our Super Bowl this year. We also want to invite you to join us on Ash Wednesday. That's this Wednesday at 7 p.m. via Zoom. You can find those links in the link weekly email and on our church website. This one is not going to be broadcast live. It is only going to be available via Zoom. You can call in, however, so you can look for that information on our church website. You may want to gather a few things in preparation for this service. It is a communion service, so you'll want your communion elements, and also a candle, small amount of soil or sand, some water, and a small bowl for mixing, and then also your sea glass that hopefully you received in the mail or by a hand delivery. You'll want that for this service. And we do hope that you will join us this week. That's Wednesday at 7 p.m. And we also invite people to really enter into the Lenten experience with us in our Soul Sabbatical. This is a small group gathering via Zoom. It'll be a 5-week session on Wednesday evenings beginning on February 24th. We will be using the book Grounded by Diana Butler Bass to lead us on our journey through Lent. And please contact me if to express interest and to receive the Zoom link. And you can buy the book ahead of time. We encourage you to do that so that you can read the first chapter before our first meeting, the introduction of the book. But we do hope that you will join us in this to really fully experience that Lenten journey with us. Thank you.
We come to a time now when we light our Christ candle together. And so I invite you to light your candle now, remembering as we receive the light of the Spirit that we are the light of the world, called to make that light shine forth into every beshadowed corner where the light of God is needed most. So now let us continue our worship together with this morning's responsive call to celebration.
Good morning. The glory of God transfigures the everyday.
The light of God transfigures familiar faces.
At the heights of our worship, may God's presence shine through the commonplace.
At the depths of our pain and struggle, may God's presence give us courage and peace.
May God's light, shining in the face of Christ, illumine all our days.
And be reflected in all that we do and are.
Join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Almighty God, remain with us always as we worship and as we share the risk and challenge of living our faith. By your powerful Spirit, turn our fear to courage and our confusion to confidence. Your glory shines in the face of Christ. Shine in our hearts and lives, that we might release our controlling grasp and trust your guiding hand. We give you praise, glorious God. Amen.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing or placing our hands over our hearts, perhaps, with the intention of opening ourselves to God and opening one another to one, each other's spirit in a spirit of peace, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We come to that time when we come together and we explore the ways that our gifts might be used in the service of God and in the advancement of the mission of God in the world. And we look to you to continue to be a generous congregation, one that is making it possible for the mission and ministry of this church to continue during this time. And so we are not passing an offering plate, but there are ways for you to continue to be generous through the money gifts that you give. One of those, of course, is to mail a check to the church, but you can also make an online contribution through our online donation portal on our website at www.firstchurchnatick.org.
I'm thrilled to introduce Lily Lewis to First Congregational Church of Natick this morning. Lily is a Louisiana-based musician who has composed in every tradition that inspires her, including soul, Americana, classical, folk, jazz, rock, gospel, blues, soul, and R&B. In a NOLA.com review of the Lily Lewis Project's just released EP, My American Heart, Red and Blue, reviewer Keith Sparrow wrote, "The material feels fully fleshed out, from the arrangements to the musicianship to Lewis's potent voice and lyrical convictions." The Kennedy Center calls Lily a powerhouse performer, adding her unique voice and talent to the national discussion of the state of social justice in America. And on hearing Lily in October, Broadway legend Mandy Patinkin said it was like listening to light. In Lily's music, I hear her struggle for compassion, justice, clarity, and wisdom. And the honesty of that struggle and the radiance of her music fills me with hope and longing for what we can be together. Lily, we are so happy to have you with us this morning.
One of the things that happens when we come to this time of offering is we think of the many ways that we use the gifts that God has blessed us with to be the people of God in the world. And so we do indeed give thanks for Lily's presence among us this day and the ways that those gifts of music are inspiring us, are moving us, and helping us to be the people who we claim to be with the commitments and values that we have. So thank you. Thank you very much, Lily. May what we share of our resources, all of them here, be a symbol of our desire to give as God has given to us.
We need love, love, love. We need love, 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 love. We need love, 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 love. On our short walk through this life. Please be kind, 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 kind. Please be kind, 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 kind. Please be kind, 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 kind. On your short walk through this life, offer gentleness and grace, oh yeah. Offer gentleness and grace. Offer gentleness and grace. as anyone could be in pain. Oh, yeah, anyone could be in pain. Anyone could be in pain. Oh, man, short walk through. There's a fire we all carry, and it lives us when we break. We must overcome our fire on a short walk through this life. It's an offering of love, oh yeah, it's an offering of love, it's an offering of love, on a short walk through this life.
Let us pray. Holy One, all good gifts come from you. You have given us life and new life in Christ. As you have given us gifts, so we offer our gifts, that we may be gifts to one another, even as Jesus so taught and so lived. In his name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, This is my son, the beloved. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The doctor opened the seals with great care, and there fell out of the map of an island with longitude, latitude, soundings, names of hills and bays and inlets, and every particular needed to bring a ship to safe anchorage upon its shores. But above all, three crosses of red ink. And beside this last, in a small, neat hand, the words, "Bulk of treasure here." So begins the adventurer Jim Hawkins, the young hero of Robert Louis Stevenson's classic novel. Finding the map in the trunk of a recently murdered mariner, Jim takes it to Squire Trelawney and to Dr. Livesey for inspection. And of course, with gold lust in their hearts, they hire a ship to search for the isle. Add the peg-legged pirate Long John Silver and his associates who secretly join the crew, and you have the foundations of the inevitable bloody battle that ensues when they arrive at Treasure Island. Well, clearly treasure maps have a special allure, but humans are innately attracted to maps of all kinds. After all, map making dates back to at least 7,000 years BCE, 3,000 years before the first written language. And this picture map painted on a wall in Turkey at Katalhöyük. And recent studies show that even very young children have an uncanny ability to read maps, fueling some speculation that human beings are actually born with this ability. Well, all cultures make maps, and there are many, many good reasons for them. They help win battles. They help gain resources. They help claim new territories. And so we can think of the Dutch East India Company, which with its secret atlas of 180 navigational charts controlled the Pacific for 300 years, an empire built on having the right maps. As one 17th century Dutch cartographer wrote, "By making the distant immediate, the unseen visible, maps go far beyond science to near alchemy." No wonder one Carthaginian captain sunk his ship and drowned his crew rather than let his charts fall into Roman hands. And when he returned home, was given a hero's welcome for doing. My own love of maps is really pretty simple. I marvel at my father's uncanny sense of direction, and however, know that apparently it is not hereditary. I couldn't find my way out of a paper bag without a map, and so I cherish them. Well, Peter also longed for a map. On the mountaintop, he was let in on something he knew was big. Jesus transfigured, the Messiah, the one who might have come to overthrow Roman oppressors. And in his exaltation, Peter proposes three dwellings for the holy celebrities so that the moment might be preserved. He thought the future was mapped out, like the road and the destination that he saw and was comforted by this vision. The way maybe that I am comforted by Google Maps when I'm driving. The trouble is, Peter had it all wrong. And when God says, "This is my beloved son, listen to him," what does he do? He hits the ground in fear. It'd be comic if his total lack of understanding wasn't so pathetic. For just prior to this, Jesus had told the disciples of his coming, suffering, and death. Well, Peter didn't like that map. He didn't like that map. So what did he do? He did what so many of us do. He crafted another one. He crafted one that was more to his liking. Peter was like many previous map makers. Medieval cartographers put Jerusalem at the center of the known world. They put Eden at the top, like in this map that you see, this medieval map. On one border were the nations of Gog and Magog, from which the Antichrist's servants were said to overrun Christendom on Judgment Day. And margins were also marked with unknown spots of fondest hopes or deepest fears that they had never seen, but clearly they wanted to exist. Likewise, until 1843, maps of the American West depicted the Rio Buenaventura, a fictitious waterway flowing from the Rockies to the Pacific, and marvelous, unseen places believed to be real. Quivira, where golden plates were said to be common, and Cibola, a land with seven prosperous cities whose inhabitants wore belts of gold. So Peter's map, like many filled with never-never lands, was built on desire, on desire. And we can't really blame Peter. A life map is often why people turn to religion. And we often apply map language to our faith. We speak of, well, we speak of a moral compass, for example. We speak of the path of righteousness. We speak of how sinners have perhaps lost their way. With all of life's confusion, some certainty for our human journey would be nice. And yet Jesus rejects Peter's map. He insists that the path ahead isn't so well mapped out, that they aren't going to remain on the holy mountain. No, they are going to do something different. They are going to go onward to the work of preaching and healing in the general direction of confrontation and conflict, a risky and uncertain way. I've been thinking that one sobering implication of this is that there is no vision, there is no tradition, there is no scripture that's an absolutely sure roadmap for those who would follow Jesus. Which has me thinking about another Peter, the late Reverend Peter Gomes. A renowned preacher and Harvard minister, Gomes often scattered to the winds people's well-ordered maps. I saw it myself in 1991 when I was working with the college's press office, when he addressed a crowd in Harvard Yard demonstrating against a rash of campus hate speech directed at gays and lesbians. What Gomes, a Black Baptist preacher, lifelong Republican, who had participated in the inaugurations of Reagan and the first Bush, professor of Christian morals, what he said that day rocked the establishment. He said, "I'm a Christian who also happens to be gay." the cheer that went up at that moment is something I can't fully describe, but it happened, and it was an amazing moment. Gomes committed himself to fighting intolerance, notably in his work, The Good Book, where he detailed the Bible's misuse against gays, women, blacks, and Jews. He refused to accept the time-worn maps of assumptions and stereotypes that people often imposed on him, and he rejected the roadmap view of the Bible as unchanging truth, saying, you need an ongoing context and community of interpretation to keep the Bible current and yourself honest. Gomes viewed scripture and faith as imbued with the living word of God, but a word only truly heard when we are listening for it, and especially when we're listening for it in the context of community. As James Russell Lowell wrote in 1844, in that hymn we sang earlier, in which he was encouraging Christians to oppose slavery, new occasions teach new duties. Time makes ancient good uncouth. They must upward still and onward. Who would keep abreast of truth? Or as our spiritual ancestor, John Robinson, told the Mayflower pilgrims, the Lord hath more light and truth yet to break forth from God's holy word. Or simply in UCC speak, God is still speaking. That is a central message of the Transfiguration story. The divine voice breaks in on the vision, saying, this is my beloved son. What? Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen. Don't misinterpret appearances. Don't make assumptions. Pay attention. God is still speaking. Keep your ears and your minds open. Jesus, what did he do? He ripped up Peter's map. He ripped up Peter's map, but he gave him the disciples' map. The disciples' map. There, on the disciples' map, there are no exactly placed destinations and routes or tantalizing fantasy lands. It has known territories and blank patches, terra incognita, into which those who follow him will surely be led. And it's especially at these borderland moments that it is time to listen and to listen well. Like the world, this congregation is in such a moment, facing a new era and new challenges and new ministerial leadership yet to emerge. It is terra incognita. And many of our old reliable maps are now obsolete. So it is prime time for listening to the urgings of the Spirit of the living Christ in our midst, calling us into a new future. Relying on maps, it's natural, but it caters to our need to control by taking us to our destination and not to God's. After all, some of those maps held precious by white Europeans and Americans of European descent led them to trade in other human beings. Definitely not God's destination for us. No, maps are never going to tell us where we should go. They will only suggest where we might look. So the disciples' map must have its blank spaces, inviting us to discovery. For maps too accurate, well, they wouldn't keep us They would just keep us from stepping out fully in faith. Which brings me back to Peter Gomes. Peter Gomes, one commencement, he told graduating Harvard seniors, "You are going to be sent out of here for good, and most of you are not ready to go. The president is about to bid you into the fellowship of educated men and women, and you know just how dumb you really are." Harvard seniors cheered him. They cheered him in their agreement. They knew. But Gomes continued. "But there is always hope," he said. "The future is God's gift to you. God will not let you stumble or fall. God has not brought you this far to this place to abandon or leave you here alone and afraid. The God of Israel never stumbles, never sleeps. Thus, my beloved and bewildered friends, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." People of God, let us go forth on this short walk through life that Lily sang about earlier, without certainty, without control, and yet confident. Confident that listening for the guiding of the Spirit, no matter where our path takes us, we will be led. We will be led by God's Spirit and have the companionship of the living Christ along our way. May our loving God bless us in that holy journey together. Amen. We come to a time now of bringing into prayer so much, so many joys that we have, so many concerns, so many different feelings that we have about what it means to be a people living in the world in this moment in time with so many challenging situations. We're going to hear a little bit about that in a moment from Wayne Zaretter, but I would just have us remember on this Valentine's Day of love that one fact doesn't change, that God has loved you, that God loves you now, and God will always love you. Receive this good news that brings new life to us all. Wayne, are there other prayer celebrations or concerns that we lift up this day?
Yes, good morning. Prayers of healing go out to Bill Ladd's friend, Les Dorismond, who continues to regain his health and hopes to be discharged soon from the hospital. Prayers for Deb Parrott's friend, Kenneth Roper, who has been diagnosed with COVID. Prayers of blessing for our sabbatical minister, George Oliver, who has been called to be senior pastor at Grace Baptist Church in San Jose, California. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the friends, all of our friends in Santa Maria Segre, as they honor and remember their loved ones today who were massacred during the destruction of their village by the Guatemalan military over the course of February 13 to 15 in 1982. For the first time in 34 years, our partnership members were not able to be there in person sharing the memorial service. Prayers for all the survivors who continue to fight for justice and to bring accountability to those responsible. Lastly, prayers of gratitude for the continued dedication and innovation of our scientists and healthcare workers who remain committed to discovering new and better ways to care for each other.
Thank you, Wayne. I invite us to be now in a spirit of prayer, and in particular, in the spirit of prayer by the power of the Spirit together. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Holy One, that you continue to be present in our lives, continue to guide us, continue to companion us on the way, because the way of life can be hard and your way can be challenging. We know of so many who are struggling on their short walk in life, in this moment, struggling with mental health issues, anxiety or depression, with grief over loved ones lost, and that unique grieving that comes with the onset of dementia or Alzheimer's disease, with substance issues of many kinds, with the overwhelming shadow of feeling that life is just too much when thoughts of ending it may come, with ailments or disease, the presence or the threat of coronavirus, with a pandemic that goes on and on, and vaccines for all seem perhaps far away, with the threat of eviction or hopes dashed with job loss or the constant burden of vulnerability faced by persons who are seeking citizenship or sanctuary, with the daily, hourly experience of racism and white supremacy that makes its presence known in overt and covert ways for Black and brown people, with these and more, and a sense of uncertainty, of shifting sands, of changes, the meaning of which has yet to be revealed. In the midst of all of this, reveal yourself to us, loving God, by your power, heal those persons and situations that are broken. So work in us that we might be agents of your healing, reconciliation, and renewal, and keep us on your way, looking to your presence and power to take us where you would have us go. We pray these things as we pray all things through our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." People of God, may all your journeys be illumined by the brightness of God. May all your paths be along the way of Jesus Christ. And may you have the courage to trust the voice of the Holy Spirit, that you might be led in joy to new lands and to new lives. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.
Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary. The time is drawing nigh. Mothers, don't get weary. Daughters, don't get weary. Children, don't get weary. The time is drawing nigh. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. The time is drawing nigh. Fathers, don't get weary. Daughters, don't you get weary. Children, don't get weary. The time is drawing nigh. This long journey soon be over. This long journey soon be over. This long journey soon be over. The time is drawing nigh. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning.